Well, good morning. Thank you for being here. You know, from basically Thanksgiving to New Year's, everyone talks about being thankful, grateful, happy, in a giving spirit. You know, I remember years ago that during this time, people were kind, generous, willing to give of their time and whatever else may be needed. But as we face these holidays, have you ever stopped to think and ask yourself how thankful you are for the church? In the letters to the churches of Rome, Corinth, Colossae, and Philippi, the Apostle Paul expressed his deep gratitude for these congregations. He was thankful for their faithfulness, their fellowship, and their spiritual growth. Even though these groups of Christians struggled with temptation and sin, Paul appreciated his relationship for the churches. The church in Corinth that we can read about in 1 and 2 Corinthians had some very serious problems. The brethren were arguing back and forth about who was the greatest. I speak in tongues, so I'm better than you that interprets, or I can heal, I can do this, I can do that. And they were literally fighting with one another. And it was even so bad that a man had his father's wife. But did you notice what I said earlier? Even with the sinfulness that was going on, Paul was still thankful for their faithfulness, their fellowship, and their spiritual growth. Can we say the same about ourselves today? Are we thankful for the church? And I hope everyone here understands when I say church, I mean all of you. Because we are the church. Are we thankful for the church? If so, how do we express our appreciation? This morning I have a few ways and a few reasons we should be eternally grateful for this great institution that was established so long ago. First of all, I want us to notice and to be grateful and thankful for what we find in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock. This is being written specifically for elders, but in general, all of us, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Should we not be grateful and thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself made by dying on that cross, shedding that blood for the church, us? But notice also the last part, to feed the church. Again, specifically, this is addressing elders. But let me ask you this question. How much food have you provided? I'm not talking about what we have downstairs that we're going to be eating in a little while. But how much spiritual food have you given to the church, your brothers and sisters? Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and done what? Gave himself for it. Have we given ourselves to the church? That's a tough question, isn't it? Have we given ourselves to the church as Christ gave himself? You know, I'm not saying that I have to kill myself or ask one of you to do the same. But have we given of our time, our money, our efforts to strengthen the church, to build one another up, to help those who are in need? Have we truly spent the time to give of ourselves to the church? Secondly, we should be thankful for the church for the benefit of a spiritual family. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. And for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do we pray for one another when we are in our homes? Do we pray for a brother or a sister that we see that perhaps struggling, to not only to alleviate perhaps the situation they may be in, but have we prayed that God would give us the ability to help? We are a spiritual family. And because we are a family, we have benefits. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If we're sons and daughters of the Almighty, what does that make us? Oh, yes. Okay, John, yes, sons and daughters. But does it not make us brothers and sisters to one another? Would you, on purpose, hurt your physical, biological brother or sister? Would you on purpose do something to harm them? To make them look bad? Hope not. But the same is true for us as sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. Would we on purpose do something to a brother or a sister in Christ that will harm them, perhaps even bring dishonor on them? Do we spread little gossip tidbits that we've heard? You know, as a family, as sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should do everything in our power to lift one another up, to build one another up, not tear down. Thirdly, love for one another is found in the church. Notice, if we will, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit of unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, not doing anything that's going to cause grief or sadness to a brother or sister. Purified. Seeing you have purified your souls, literally sanctified, holy. Have we made ourselves holy in the sight of God by living righteously? Yes, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to sin. But daily, do we walk in the light as He is in the light? Unfeigned. Obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Genuine. Do we genuinely love one another? Do we cry when we have a brother or sister in pain? Are we joyful when we see a brother or sister in joy? You know, too many times we say, we act like, oh yeah, I love you. But yet in reality, do we truly love one another if we're unwilling to associate with one another? Are we truly loving one another when we simply pass by without recognizing? Have you ever been in a crowd of people and you see a brother or sister? Do you turn away to where they don't see you with that group of people because you don't want them to know that you're a Christian or that you have love for that person? Fervently, earnestly, constant. Have we purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, genuine love, eagerly, totally, without reservation? You know, the love of the world is, I'll love you as long as. That shouldn't be the love within the church. Are we thankful for the love that's found in the church? Fourthly, forgiveness is found in the church. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That little E-T-H, and you all know this, at the end of cleanseth, it's an ongoing process. If we're walking in the light. But you know what? We're walking in the light. Yes, we are. Yes, hope so. But what happens if a brother or sister offends you in some fashion, or perhaps even outright does you wrong, and they seek forgiveness, but yet because you hurt me, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore. You've done me wrong. Is the blood of Jesus Christ going to still cleanse us from all sin if we refuse to forgive? Most of us know the answer to that. No. Forgiveness is found in the church. If a brother or a sister comes to us and seeking forgiveness, it is our duty to forgive. And you know what happens when you forgive someone? Next week, you don't go back and say, "Well, I remember what you did. I remember what you said." It's just like in a marriage. We all have misunderstandings. We all have arguments. We all, you know, show our childishness sometimes. I know I do. But once a husband and a wife forgives each other for whatever the reason may be, it's not a very good idea to bring it back up. Why? Because it's been forgiven. You know, I know that us being weak humans, that sometimes it's very hard for us. But think how hard it was for Christ to go to that cross and die for the sins of the world. Don't you think that was hard? We struggle, I understand. Well, you know, they, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they cut me deeply. I just don't know if I can get over it. Are we not thankful that forgiveness is found in church, in the church, and in fellowship? Fifthly, are we thankful that gratitude is found within the church? Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Gratitude. They continued steadfastly. Being thankful for all that they had. They were in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. They showed gratitude by constant fellowship. That's why I think it's important for us as brothers and sisters to fellowship, to spend time with one another. Doesn't it make you feel good? Think about a physical family member that you've not seen for a while and they come to visit, or you go to visit them. How does it make you feel? That should be the same feeling that we have as brothers and sisters towards one another in fellowship. Did you know that physical needs are met through the church? Acts 4, verse 34. "Neither was there any of them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold." Now, I'm not advocating that everybody needs to go and put their homes up for sale and selling their household goods and their cars. That's not what I'm saying. But we have a responsibility in Christ, in the church, as individual Christians. We have a responsibility to help a brother and sister who are in need, regardless of who they are. Hopefully doing it so you, without wanting the praise of others for doing it. Because if that's the case, you might as well not do it. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Could you imagine? Back in Acts chapter 4, in the day of the apostles, there were Christians there that were wealthy. I mean, extremely wealthy. And there were some that were dirt poor, as the old saying goes. Poor the church mouse. But yet, they didn't say, well, you know, you're not, you know, equal with me, so I don't need to help you. These people went out and sold land and houses, sold goods, and gave to the church so those that were in need could be literally taken care of. Physical needs are met through the church. And that should be each and every one of us doing what we can to help someone else in need. Peace and harmony is found in the church. You believe me? I hope so. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us in the glory of God. Peace and harmony. We shouldn't be bickering and fighting among ourselves. There's enough of that in the world. You can open up the door and you can look out and you can see the fighting and the arguing and the contempt that the world has for one another. And if they see the same thing within these walls, if they see that within this congregation, they don't want nothing to do with it. They get enough of that out there. But when they see peace and harmony, when they see love, they see understanding and comfort, they'll want a part of it. You know, when we gather ourselves together, when we come to worship, the things of the world go away, don't they? We shouldn't be worrying about anything. Because here we have peace and harmony. We have the love of God. We have the love of one another. The world, they should see that. When they see us together, and they'll want a part of it. One can be worry-free in the church. Notice, if you will, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Again, what I was just telling everyone, when we bring ourselves together, the thoughts and the cares of the world should just simply go away. It's hard, I know. Maybe there's issues at the house. Maybe the furnace isn't quite working right, or you're worried about something that may take place or it may not. We all bring, and it's sad to say, we all bring luggage with us, don't we? When in reality, we ought to leave the luggage outside. Worry-free. And the peace of God, that peace should fill all of us. Because it does pass all understanding. That peace will keep our hearts and our mind through Jesus Christ. Our thankfulness is shown by giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. For every man, according to as he proposeth in his heart, let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Do we give? Do we give of the heart? Do we give of our time? Do we give of our money? Do we give of our effort? We should be thankful that because within the church, us, we find support. We find that others are willing to give. Take your Bibles and open up to James chapter 5. I want to reread a few verses. James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. We need to understand that spiritual support is found in the church. James 5, starting in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Support for one another. Do we pray for one another? Do we ask our Father to help those that are perhaps weak in the faith? Good works come from the church. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Workmanship, creation. Are we not God's creation? Ordained, literally, prepared beforehand. Look at this. For we are His workmanship. We are His creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do we do good works? Do we go out of our way to do good? And finally, Christ, the Savior, is in the church. Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body, the church." Each and every one of us, Christ is the Savior. Are we thankful for the church? You know, we're thankful for so many things. Let's not forget to be thankful for the church. This morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel and you'd like to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see in your life that you need the prayers of the saints,